providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Todd, for the second half of KER Politics. I'm going to talk about what's going on in the country right now with the change of the inhabitant of the executive branch. Got Jim McKinney on the line with me, and one of our neighbors who is very politically astute, by the same token, has some serious questions he wants to ask Jim. I asked him to come on the program, and the reason I did is because my buddy's questions are very typical of what's going on in society right now. Mr. Neighbor Al, you want to ask the first question to Jim McKinney?
Sure. Yeah, I've been obviously very disappointed in the outcome of the election, and especially the Georgia runoff. I didn't think that was handled very well. But going forward, I'd be interested in what conservatives could do heading up to the 2022 election, because I think it's mandatory that we take back the House and hopefully the Senate. So I'd just be interested, Jim, in where you think things are going to be going, and what we can do to facilitate the conservatives getting back into some position of power.
Well, I think that's a great question. And there's a tremendous amount of frustration out there with what happened. And, taking away, if you just stop and the evidence of problems with the election, and you forget about that and don't think about the presidential race, but consider the House races, consider the state legislative races and the governor's races. The Republican Party did exceptionally well this last in November. So there's optimism out there for conservative views and values. What you don't have is confidence in our system. And that's the most important thing that has to happen, in my view, is we have to rebuild confidence in our system. And what that means is the Republican legislatures in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona, they need to hold people accountable to their own state laws on how to manage the elections. And they cannot allow this continued COVID and the mail-in ballots that basically have created such distrust in the system. That's the first step. The second step is to quit kowtowing to the left. In my view, the people in Washington, D.C., especially a lot of the Republicans that have been around for a long time, they live in a world where they are friends and have drinks after work with their Democratic partners. And we want, some relationship, of course, always positive relationship. But what's happening is they're being suckered by their Democratic leaders, because the Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate, they do not care about the American people, from my perspective. They care about power. And you have to go into this understanding that's their objective. And what I see is a Republican Party that's going to be quite frustrated, that's going to have some realignment time right now back to those basic principles that Trump represented. And that's, he wanted to give manufacturing back. He wanted to give people, the minorities, he wanted to give the average working class a future and give America strength. And what we've seen from the Democrats is, hey, you know what? We're going to succumb to the powers of corporate corruption. We're going to let the tech gurus shut us down. And they've got to stop that. They've got to not allow that to happen. And that's the big fight right now.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I'm not quite sure how we can accomplish that right now. And the reason I say that is America right now is in an incredible state of turmoil. I was awoken this morning to the news in the Seattle Times that the distribution of the COVID medication is simply too disorganized right now. Actually, the reporter who wrote this particular article waited in a line which was 1 mile long in Squim, Washington, to get the inoculation, and when he was roughly five people away. They announced they couldn't do it anymore because they had run out. When, number one, we need some disorganization. And if people don't understand that the Liberal administration is totally screwing up the COVID vaccination distribution, which I just described how that's happening in Washington State. If they don't understand that, they won't understand anything. So you have to, I believe, keep tabs on the success of the tasks that are being undertaken by the Liberals right now. So far, we've had no luck whatsoever. Jimmy, comments?
Well, the reason why we've got no luck is because the media, the tech giants have suppressed any knowledge that undermines the narrative that there's mistakes in New York, that there's mistakes in Washington State or California. They're taking away actual dialogue. They're taking away the ability to discourse or complain or even, you know, question the narrative. And I think that's an important thing that has to happen. And I did the radio show for our local radio station this morning. I do my weekly show on foreign affairs, and I talked about foreign governments, our allies, that are actually very frustrated, not big fans of Donald Trump, but are very frustrated with the tech companies clamping down on democratic free speech.
Yep.
And that's where we've got to get the democratic powerful influencers to say, you know what, this can go both ways, so you better step up to the plate right now and start control, you know, stopping this control of information. And that's going to be the biggest challenge in my view, because really it's about the propaganda. That's where what's shaping everyone's vision. That's what's scaring people. And as we get more and more information on what happened on January 6th, we're realizing that maybe the narrative that came out of the media immediately was false. A lot of the information that was suppressed about the elections is completely being suppressed. We've got to change that. And that's your point is good. If people don't understand it and we can't debate it, we can't dialogue about it, then we will not know. And that's going to be problematic.
We have an almost insurmountable problem at this point. Al, I want to ask you, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Jim understands the clock. You got another question, sir?
Do I have another question? Yeah, well, yeah, following up to Jim's most recent comment about, you say that the big tech and the suppression and all, that's our big challenge. How do we go about, crafting debate and moving away from big tech's control? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Jimmy, 2 minutes.
Yeah. So the first is the Section 230 in the Federal Communications Act that allows them basically, I look at it like this. They produce the paper that the newspaper prints the information on. They're controlling what the newspapers print on the paper. That's what the platforms are doing right now. That can't last. They can't tell and control what people are saying, what are being done. So we've got to figure out how our legislators can reach out and stop that type of control. The second piece of it is there is enough information out there. You just have to go to alternative sources, and you have to be able to present that a little bit better. It's tough in a monopolistic system, but that's where we've got to go. And, you know, of course, as they try to clamp down, you're going to have to use anti-monopoly rules with what happened with Amazon closing out Parler, and then Google and Apple closing out their ability to actually download the apps. That has got to change. And it's not that hard to do, but they have to get consensus. We have to push our legislators to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about exactly 25 seconds left here. I'm going to have to take a real quick commercial break. Pardon me, Big Al's going to be back in a flash. Frog in my throat. Don't open your mouth, Corlin. Anyhow, going to have to take a real quick commercial break, just probably a few seconds, just a few, very few, 1 or 2 minutes, and I'm going to be right back with our friend from Semiamu and Jim McKinney. Stick around.